Hello, and welcome to NARC, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Collaborators, home to NARC Troopers. If you like today's message, please check out my website at narctroopers.com, where you will find many, 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 many resources to help you on your recovery journey. Today's topic is Tits Up. You know, after the devastation of the discard, you have to leverage the opportunity to reinvent a 2.0 version of yourself. So let's talk about tits up. This actually means broken, failed, inoperable, idiomatic slang, of course, and it could mean dead. Well, that just about says it all, doesn't it? The collateral damage of the narcissistic discard leaves us broken, failed, inoperable, and essentially dead. My daughter's choir teacher, Mr. T, used to say, "Tits up!" before every choir concert. It was a cheeky way, sort of a cheesy way of saying, "Get perky, guys, be plucky, and free up your diaphragm to give space to your voice." You know, even Jane Fonda says posture is everything, and coming from a feisty 84-year-old icon, she must be on to something. That is not the kind of tits up, that, shoulders back kind of thing that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of roadkill lying by the side of the road, tits up to the sky, you know, long forgotten by whoever plowed them down as they sped along the highway, oblivious to the harm that they would inevitably create in their path. That reckless and intoxicated driver is the narcissist. And we, my friends and fellow folks in recovery, we are the roadkill pavement patty lying tits up in the middle of the road. One of my favorite public personas, who is a cluster B expert and a narcissist borderline himself, yes, Dorothy, there is such a fabulous beast. Well, anyway, he says that the narcissist is a gift, an angel. Perhaps it takes one to know one, as the saying goes, but gift? Angel? You know, I'm not sure those are the words that I would think of when I think of my ex-husband, for example, the covert somatic narcissist. When we were lying, when all of us were lying face down in the smoldering ruins of what was once an enchanted life, when all of our happily ever after dreams and illusions have gone tits up, it is impossible to think of the narcissist as a harbinger of good things, the catalyst for a divine opportunity to cut out the cancer that was killing us all along and to be able to create a better, healthier, happier version of ourselves. To make matters worse, the whole world seems to be tits up while you are also suffering from a whole system collapse. In the middle of all this uncertainty that's happening in the world, impending doom and all of that, we have been eviscerated by the narcissist in our lives, gutted, hollowed out, left for dead, carrion on the concrete. You get the idea, right? But herein lies an opportunity. Through this death, this complete and utter devastation, which in most ways is the narcissist's fatal push that compels you to experience the dark night of the soul, it is not for the faint of heart or weak-spirited. It is the work we have spent our lives trying to avoid. You may think that they have killed you, and in many ways that is exactly what they have done. The narcissist slayed you like a sacrificial lamb to enable the gods of their false world to reward them abundantly. And your reward for your sacrifice? You had to die in order to be reborn into a new and improved version of yourself. It is a profound blessing in disguise, because under the extreme pressure of clawing your way back to the land of the living and the reality that awaits you there, your whole sense of what reality is, you know, just collapses. You realize that for the time that you lived as one with the narcissist in the fantasy bubble, nothing was actually real. This is extremely frightening, because you are left with almost nothing of your previous belief systems. It burns everything to the ground and is a total annihilation, requiring a complete reset and new beginning. This whole reinvention of yourself and your identity is quite amazing, because you are getting a do-over to get healthy from a lifetime of trauma and exploitation. Yes, probably a lifetime. That may not, maybe that's not always the case 100% of the time, but more often than not, it is. Anything that helps you to create boundaries, to wake up from this dream, to face your demons, and to emerge as the beautiful butterfly that you are, well, that actually is a miracle, isn't it? It is a cathartic experience in the long run, and your previous reality, it was seriously corrupted due to the narcissistic abuse and probable dysfunction and toxic scripting from your childhood. From this place, you can choose to start building from scratch a much healthier belief system and framework of reality. You can create a new narrative. When you have that incredible epiphany that you've been brainwashed your whole life, you will start to see the brain patterns for what they are, and it is a powerful reckoning. You drop your false illusions and see your ego and pride for the destructive effects that they have had on your life. And this is almost impossible to accomplish without experiencing the major trauma caused by a narcissist. In a study in the current Directions in Psychology Science by Mark Seary, PhD, he took a deep dive into the impact that trauma has on individuals and on whether or not it actually makes them psychologically stronger and more resilient. They discovered that too much trauma and too little hardship and difficulty can be bad for you. But they found that a moderate middle ground place of trauma and upset and upheaval can have the best effects on a person in multiple ways. You know, I'm sure you've heard about how it's important to let your children fail so they learn coping skills and they develop some grit and resilience and adaptability that they can otherwise never accomplish if you always rush in and rescue them and save them and scoop them up and protect them. And it's sort of the same concept here, I think, with what that they're saying. Jim Rendon, the author of Upside, The New Science of Post-Traumatic Growth, his studies conclude something similar. According to recent PTSD research, 75% of people will experience a traumatic event in their lifetime, which will cause great suffering and turmoil. Instead of getting lost in this loss and pain, there's a silver lining. Trauma can be a powerful force for positive change. The trauma acts as a catalyst, pushing these people to change for the better. The term PTG, post-traumatic growth, was invented to describe the positive changes that invariably follow an existential crisis like the narcissist. It is impossible to accept this truth in the weeks and months following a brutal discard or messy exit, right? And so you most likely experience a complete collapse. Most people do. They're fighting for their life, literally. But your grief and shock and confusion will diminish over time. And understanding and accepting and all of that, it's important. It's eventually going to come to you, and it will come into focus, and it will be within your grasp. Chances are that the majority of people who pair in relationships with these cluster B people, the ones who stay for years or even decades, like moi, we have layers of lifelong trauma and abuse to come to terms with. The narcissist was a way to escape the reality of the pain and a way to soothe yourself with an external regulator. You have been in a fantasy bubble of mutual psychosis because you were both playing roles to get what you needed: fuel, soothing, external validation, to name a few. You know, both of you, you and your narcissist, were probably children of caregivers who could not or would not be the parent that you needed. So you had to parentify each other, and you mothered each other in all of the ways that your biological mother should have but didn't. And so that's why it's so hard to live without them. The enmeshment and merging, this fusion, it creates a symbiosis that is almost impossible to tear asunder. We sought refuge and sanctuary within the confines of someone similarly dysregulated and maladapted. These archaic wounds from childhood were the glue that bound us together. And that is why it is so important to separate and create your own identity, a healed and whole individual capable of self-regulating and self-validating for the first time in our lives. The narcissist comes to wake us up, to show us how it could have been and should have been, lets us live in their fantasy garden of delight, only to cast us out in the end. They murder us in every sense of the word. And as we lie there, tits up to the sky, we have a choice to make. Play dead and just stay in place as cars and semis run over our carcass daily, or take our mangled and bloody selves off the road, crawl to safety, and resurrect a new, improved version of ourselves. We have the ability to bring ourselves back to life, to resurrect ourselves in an almost religious kind of phenomena, to give birth to a new, fresh self that has control over how our life will be and what we will be allowed or not allowed to do or to be or to think or to experience. We redefine ourselves, learn to love ourselves, and create the life we always wanted but never knew how to get. We give it to ourselves. We don't turn to others like us who are damaged and disordered. We turn inwards. It's like Mr. T, my daughter's choir teacher, always said, tits up, but it has a new meaning now. Not the tits up roadkill definition, but the be confident and perky and plucky and get out there on that stage and sing your heart out like you've never sung before. We can own that definition now because it's your time to shine.